With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From Variety, celebrating more than 117 years covering the business of entertainment, this is the Award Circuit Podcast.
My mom is 84 years old, and she's at home watching. Mom, I just won an Oscar.
And my mother and my father were both nominated for Oscars in different categories. I just won an Oscar.
Things, they didn't come easily to me, but there was a facility that I didn't appreciate at the time until it stopped. And I just want to say thank you for this acknowledgement.
We are all products of our context. We are all descendants of something and someone. And I want to acknowledge my context, my immigrant parents, my father who fell in love with movies because he needed to escape the world and thus passed that love of movies onto me. My mother, who is a creative soul who wanted to be a dancer, an actor, and singer, but could not afford the luxury of that life path and then gave it to me.
We want to dedicate this to the mommies, all the mommies of the world, to our moms. Specifically my mom and dad, Ken and Becky, thank you for not squashing my creativity when I was making really disturbing horror films or really perverted comedy films or dressing in drag as a kid, which is a threat to nobody.
For all the little boys and girls who look like me watching tonight, this is the beacon of hope and possibilities. This is proof that dreams do come true.
The 95th Oscars are all over, and Everything Everywhere All at Once was the big winner, including Best Picture. I'm Michael Schneider, and on this Mega Roundtable edition, we recount the show from Jimmy Kimmel's excellent monologue to every single category. It's all next on the Variety Awards Circuit Podcast. Stay close. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Hello. I'm Michael Schneider, TV editor at Variety, and we're going to be talking about TV starting soon. But before we get to the good stuff, let's get back to the film world. And
the
talk
not
about...
good stuff?
Wow. Wow. Shots fired.
Shade.
Damn,
shade,
tell us what you really think about film.
Already beginning. Those are the dulcet tones of Clayton Davis, Janelle Riley, and Jazz Tankay. We are your Fantastic Four. We are the podcast of your dreams.
They haven't cast that movie yet, so we could be the Fantastic Four.
Please don't make me be the thing.
We are the Podcastic Four. So, yeah, things happened. Stuff happened. But I guess the headline should be, Jazz, you once again administered the Variety Office Pool for this year's Oscars. Why don't you tell the kids at home?
Let's just say some people here won it. We don't need to go any further than that.
Let's just say there was a three-way tie and then there was a two-way tie won by two people on this podcast that are not men. And yeah, that's
wait,
it.
That,
and
that
next year
men?
They're going to...
Wait, did you say I'm not a man?
I'm tired, so, yeah, guys. I'm sorry.
So
Mike and Clayton won the Oscar pool. Big deal.
Oh,
let's move on.
Listen,
that's it.
Wait, it's not just Michael.
No, stop.
It's not just Mike and Clayton won the Oscar pool. Is that the first year I started here, Clayton won the Oscar pool. And then last year, Mike won the Oscar pool. And then this year, Mike and Clayton won the Oscar pool.
Yeah,
so we are the reigning champs of Oscar pooling at the office. And we just want people to...
Recognize
the awards people actually know the awards.
Well, okay. Michael, since you didn't see any of these movies, was it off of this podcast that you based most of your answers?
I've seen a good chunk of the movies, but yeah,
the precursors.
I do have to say that our weekly little check-ins, they have influenced my thoughts and where I went. So the funny thing is, though, I didn't go with my gut in a couple of categories where had I gone with my gut, I would have cleaned up and beat Clayton Davis.
Yeah.
But I ultimately, there was a real part of me that thought Jamie Lee Curtis was going to win, but I couldn't pull the trigger.
I get it.
And there was one other category, I forget which one, where also, you know, I was like, I know it's going to be this, but I'm going to be disappointed in myself if I do choose this and it doesn't win. It's sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But in hindsight, had I done those two categories, I would have won. But then again, maybe there were others I wouldn't have chosen.
I did not expect SAG to line up perfectly with Oscar. That was a big shocker.
By the way, this isn't cheating. I'm going to be clear about this, not cheating, but my office pool was different than my official Oscar predictions on Variety.com. It was a good hedge. Wow. It was a good hedge your bets. This has happened three times now. I have won Oscar pools that have varied from my official predictions and that do better. So I think from now on, that is my official thing.
I love that Clayton saves the good stuff for himself. to the rest of America, he's like, here, you take these predictions. I'm saving the real stuff.
So he can win pools.
When money's involved, I get very, very intense about this.
I want to give Mike props, though, for picking The Elephant Whisperers and Doc Shaw, All Quiet for score. And then All Quiet for cinematography. Like
I also called that too because we had the same thing. But yes, that's fine. I just want to give Mike no knowledge whatsoever.
But Clayton knew what he was doing. I just went off of trying to listen without seeing the movies.
That's the incredible thing.
Yeah, and I did. And by the way, the Office one varied by two because I did my first because when I turned in for the magazine, I changed like three times. So I gave my first Inception to Jazz. She's the office pool manager. So I gave her my first Inception, and that was two better than my official predictions ended up being in the end. So here's the note, the lesson for everyone. Just go with whatever it is you submit first, just stay with it.
The lesson is don't look at Clayton's predictions. Mm-hmm. Ask him what he's doing.
Ask him what I submitted for the pool. My two variations were Jamie Lee Curtis, because I had her first. Yep. Ended up swapping out at the end. And then I had Carrie Condon. And then All Quiet I had in score, and I switched it out for The Fabelmans. That was my Hail Mary. And I knew there was going to be one, and I was thinking maybe production design, maybe. And I just didn't even do it. So yeah, it's fine. I would have never picked Brendan Fraser, though. Like you said this before, Janelle. 5 for 5 SAG.
I went ahead and put Austin Butler, but that day I was like, I feel like it's gonna be Brendan Fraser.
You know, when the whale makeup. Won makeup.
Yeah.
I said to everyone in the room, I was like, okay,
and that's why I tell everyone, like, I knew I would have never picked Brendan because I wasn't picking the whale in makeup, and I knew that was gonna match. And I saw pundits doing the opposite. I was like, you better match that up. I mean, now listen, you had your bets. I guess you got one out of the two right, but you know, I just knew that the same film was winning that.
Honestly, my biggest shock of the night is probably that Elvis went home empty-handed.
Yeah.
Because there was so much love for that movie. People were so passionate about it. Even if it didn't win, you know, Best Picture or Best Actor, I thought for sure it would win some of the below the line categories.
Crofts,
yeah. So, big takeaway: Catherine Martin only wins two Oscars or zero. Like, she won't take just one. So, if you can't get her to two, just don't pick her at all.
It was funny because I went to the Women in Film event on Friday night, and Ruth Carter was there. Catherine Martin wasn't there, and like, there was so much love for Ruth, and I was like, maybe she does it. Like, let's go back to October when we were saying Ruth was going to win. And I didn't go through changing that because, you know, distractions happened and we were trying to break a story, blah, blah, blah. And then Sunday morning, I went into change and it was locked. And I was like, Ruth is going to win. But like Janelle said, I did not expect Elvis to go home empty-handed. It was like, okay, so it doesn't win costume.
You think Elvis peaked too soon?
No, I think they did a really good job of keeping the interest going and then bringing it back around. I think just ultimately at the end of the day, people voted for other things.
Yeah, so it's a rarity in this biz. And this, I think studios like to hear us say this part and people probably think we don't mean it, but I totally do. It's rarity to say, I don't think there's anything you could have done differently. to get a different outcome. I really think you did everything pretty spot on. Because listen, it was, you know, there were people that had problems with the movie, but it was able to supersede all that, like chatter, and just end up with 8 nominations was a big deal. Austin Butler not being able to do it. I did hear some people say, I guess this, you have to really like pay attention to when people talk now. They were saying that, like, oh, you know, we'll have time for Austin Butler. And I think a lot of people
got that vibe a lot.
I think a lot of people were like, oh, he's new Brad Pitt. We'll see you in like 10 years. You know?
Although I did see one pundit say something like, I don't think he'll ever get close to the Oscar stage again. And this is the same pundit who lost a lot of money to me because he said there was no way Parasite would ever win Best Picture. So I should go double or nothing on him.
Yeah.
Well, aren't we kind of afraid that he can only play Elvis for the rest of his life now?
we'll see in Dune 2.
Yes.
I hear he is amazing in Dune 2.
Mm-hmm. Actually, let's start here because we'll bring into TV talk a little bit. Up in ratings, the Oscars. People watched. Look at that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the big takeaway was, you know, it wasn't there. There was no slap. There was no envelope gate. There was no crazy moment, but it was a solid show. It was, you know, really emotional, some really moving moments. I thought Kimmel's monologue was, you know, hit all the marks, you know, so overall, you know, good marks for this show. And it kind of reminded me of the, you know, Oscar shows of the, you know, old days where it was just, you know, a solid show.
It was a very classy ceremony, and something occurred to me as I was watching it. I was like, don't try to be anything different than what you are. Like this is fine. This is fine. You don't need 30 different hosts within 4 hours. You don't need any
pre-taped segments that take time, or
you don't need to go out into the street.
Yeah, well,
there's a very good article on Variety.com, actually, as of today, so it'll still be there on Thursday, I guess, about, you know, things that you didn't see in the room. And one of the things, they talked to the producer, who's also Jimmy Kimmel's wife, Molly McNeary, and she talked about how, you know, a lot of those pre-taped segments or these bits that they plan for are really high risk and often little reward.
Yeah, I read that story. And
I think you wrote that story, didn't you?
Yeah. It was Franklin Avenue.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly, you know, a good point that she made was, as you know, when Jimmy decided to do the show, he's like, you know, there was little reward in doing those, you know, those pre-tape pieces or those big gimmicks. But there was a lot of it was heavy lifting. It was expensive to do those things.
Yeah, risky.
And for a little reward. So why not just stick to what's going on in the room and make it a celebration in the room about the movies in particular? And I think they pulled that off this year.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciated it.
Do you know what was divided in the room a little bit? And
no, Clayton, we don't, because we weren't in the room.
Well, thanks. But even afterwards, after chatter, the Little Mermaid commercial and the Warner Brothers.
Yes, explain to people what happened, because you didn't see it in the room, did you?
So they did, which I, by the way, I've written about this 2 years ago now. I said that the Oscars need to emulate the Super Bowl, like make it about movies, show big trailers, like, you know, make it about summer blockbuster, like promote stuff, like make it about the thing you're celebrating, you know?
Right.
So they seem to toe dip a little bit, because Little Mermaid trailer premiered during the Oscars for people at home. And then in the room, they showed us a reel of the Academy Gold program, which was fine. But there were other studio people and executives that were very upset that Disney got to promote Disney on the Oscars, and that Warner Brothers also got like this whole plug during the Oscars. Now, well, I don't think, like, we didn't see it in the room because they were doing cutaways.
But you saw them present, right? You saw, like,
they presented, and then when it cuts for you guys, Margot Robbie was like, okay, so while they're at home watching, watch this thing about, like, you know, whatever, and would give us something else. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, but you know, so don't forget those were both paid. You know, that was marketing. I mean, people, you know, those studios spent money. So, and I think you'll see more of that in the future. And you know, this wasn't the first time Disney's done it in the past. I think they did it within the Heights. You know, a year or two ago, and they've done it with one other film as well. So you're seeing this, it's, you know, it's product integration. It's like, you know, any sort of deal where a product shows up on a TV show. In this case, it's, you know, one of the biggest shows on television, but, you know, like Disney paid for that.
Krispy Kreme in Power Rangers has always been so prominent in my mind. It's like right there.
I want a Krispy Kreme now.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you said it, Micah. I was like, I wasn't sure if it was paid placements. I think some of the criticism was like, did they make that clear that these were paid inserts into the show? And that's what was the criticism of it. And I was like, okay, I mean, like, welcome to television. Like, is that what it is?
Right.
Like, we don't look at Man of Steel and be like, oh, Sears is right there. I wonder if they are letting us know that that's paid. I think we just all assume that they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart to have Sears in the background.
Yeah. And it didn't feel intrusive to me. I mean, I think because we are used to, you know, most big events do things like that, you know, and, you know, the Oscars isn't that precious that you can't do it when it's related to film. You know, it'd be one thing if suddenly it was a pharmaceutical company doing that. They were up on stage and
right. Beauty and the Bloodshed does their nomination.
Right. Or McDonald's or, you know, who knows what. That just feels really forced. But this was
McNuggets at the audience. Yeah. Hell yeah. Sweet and sour sauce.
It's about film. So, you know, it's fine.
I'm fine with that.
Going back to your point about the ratings, though, Mike, I think like what it was this year, too, is that like so many people had seen these movies, right? Everything Everywhere at Once, Top Gun, Elvis, all of them. And I think people just wanted to see.
So can I? I'm a slightly disagree for this reason, because I have never held the mind that it's about what's nominated. I don't think people really care that much. So sometimes they do, but people aren't tuning in because Top Gun's nominated for Best Picture because we all knew it was going to lose. So I believe they get a big get out of jail free card with their original song nominees. I think that helped a ton. Once Gaga was coming to the show, it became a thing. I think that helps. And a little bit this year, it's also like post slap stuff is like, what are they going to talk about? But people will tune in for like a good show. Like, it was aesthetically the most beautiful show maybe in the last decade that they've
done. Except for that champagne carpet.
Oh.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Can I guys? So standing on that champagne, the cameras, man, cameras are wizards because they can't see the stain. That was black in spots.
It was filthy, dirty.
Where we were standing, they ripped up the carpet like three times and put down new carpet because it got so black.
Wow.
Like three times. I was just like, oh, okay, you're just gonna do that again, that's fine. So
get a black carpet from here on out.
Which early word on the street, that's what they were gonna go for at first. I was like, you probably should have done it would have been black anyway, like just like keep it as is. But I think, listen, it was okay. I think the champagne carpet was like actually the least of it. I thought it was really dimly lit, the carpet. I feel like people were getting mugged in corners in a weird way. Like, it just didn't like pop the way. I think they just didn't really brighten that spot up. But listen, red carpet aside, like inside, I thought the screen with the collages when nominees were standing there were beautiful. The way they integrated editing and composing and stuff, and had people sitting there, like little prop sets, I thought was wonderful. Yeah. It was a really
photo choices show. Like when Ki-Hoo Kwan was accepting his award, and then you could see over his shoulder this picture of him like lying dead on the ground with
because they had these four screens on the side. So when they had that one pan from the side of Ki, I said to myself, I was like, if they're looking from that angle, they're just gonna see a big bloody nose right there. They should probably switch that one.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, yeah, that was actually very funny. But overall, nice. You're right. Nice use of that screen, and that's where modern technology really pays off, and being able to quickly change into a different world, like the RRR number, where you didn't have to build a set because you just had that screen in the background, and it looked just as good as if they had built a set that they would have only used for 3 minutes.
Well, those of us from the theater world I'm literally on Broadway right now, so I can say that. Mm. I mean, Broadway, the street.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your one woman show, yeah, that is opening tomorrow.
Oh my God, don't even.
My mom is from Venus, my dad is from Mars, and I'm in therapy.
I did a terrible one woman show, as I think everybody did at some point in their youth. And it was actually supposed to be a parody of one woman shows, and it became the thing it was parodying. Yeah, normally I don't go for like the screen changing. And honestly, I have to say, you couldn't tell the difference. I thought some of those were practical sets. They did a really good job. Yeah.
There were times I thought it was a real set. And I was in the room. I was like, oh, that's not.
Once again, Clayton just needed to let us know he was in the room.
I just wanted you to know. No, but it was a really good Oscars. Keep doing this. Don't try anything. Like, and by the way, just Kimmel, bringing up Kimmel now. Kimmel's their new Billy Crystal. I think he's very
different than Billy Crystal.
Well, he's an establishment dude. Stick with him for a while until you find your Whoopi Goldberg. Like, stop trying different people. Just keep on with Kimmel until the wheels come off.
No objections if you want to stick with Kimmel. I think
he does fine.
Yeah.
Great job.
And we don't have to deal with this drama every single year of who's going to host and what's the anticipation and what's it going to look like. And 9 times out of 10, it ends up being pretty awful. Although, stick with what you know.
Did everyone think that it was going to be Matt Damon in the cocaine bear suit?
I did for a quick second. I thought someone was going to come out of that. I was like, it would be Matt Damon. Because that came before his joke, right? Before the Matt Damon joke that he did.
I mean, he made a couple Matt Damon jokes throughout the night. Mm-hmm. So,
but I did think Matt Damon was going to pop up somewhere, and he did not. That was very sad.
Well, they did. So they did tell me that originally there was going to be someone in that suit, and it fell apart at the last moment. So they wouldn't tell me who, because they didn't want to burn the person. But I think that was the original plan.
Ooh, since we don't know, can we make a guess? I think it was Tom Cruise.
Did you hear who it was in the suit? It really was a celebrity.
Was it?
It was DJ Jazzy Jeff.
No,
is that a joke?
That is a joke.
Okay.
You see the paste on head. But going through the winners real quick, and I have the order in which it came, because then you'll get to feel the palpable oh my gods that we felt in the room. So we start off with Pinocchio, easy call. It's the only time everyone was 100% pretty much the night. Everyone would start in the same field. Guillermo, first person to hold Oscars for picture, director, and animation.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Can I just say there was a change in the run of show, because originally it was going to be supporting actress.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I think that was the Gaga edition messed up that run of show. But that's just me speculating. I don't know. Then came supporting actor. Can I just say, I only cried once this show. And I didn't even cry. I mean, I was crying already when Key took the stage. It was Ariana DeBose saying his name. I don't know why it hit me that.
Well, because she started the tear up as well.
I didn't. But usually people cry on stage when they say something. I'm like, ah, like whatever. I'll cry when they get up there. But when she said it, it just hit me. I was like, oh my God.
The look on her face too. Yeah. She was like, aww.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, I was watching the Oscars alone in my hotel room. Because I was down at South by Southwest.
Mike, you can't tell us you're getting divorced this way. You have to really set me up.
Breaking news.
Wait, isn't your wife quarantining?
Yeah, I know, right? I love Maria. She's the best. Go ahead, Mike.
So, I was down in Austin at South by, and so alone watching the show. And so, you know, by myself, just bawling in my hotel room, having to like grab that box of tissues that's in the bathroom. And it was just, just that moment. And I was like, I'm glad I'm not giving this speech, because I wouldn't be able to get through it at all. So I'm thankfully Key was like,
Mom, I won an Oscar.
Perfect speech.
Oh my God.
Oh, by the way, and because it's going to be out by the time this is out, our post-Oscar cover with Kiyu Kwan.
And
the cover of Variety.
I love to shout out to his Goonies brother, Jeff Cohen, also my lawyer.
Yes.
Yes.
Literally, can I just say, by the way, when he said Jeff Cohen, like the entire room erupted. It was.
Everyone loves Jeff.
I know. It really caught me off guard.
Great guy, and he works with a lot of people. You know, as a lawyer, he helped key get back into this business. He's just, he's a great supportive dude.
I was sitting with Variety's chief marketing officer, Daya Lawrence, and she screamed, like, totally got so excited. She's like, yeah, Jeff. I was like, whoa.
Well, Jeff does so much for Variety's 10 actors to watch every, I'm sorry, 10 comics to watch every year, and always goes to the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal, and is a big supporter and a big, great partner. Like, just the best guy. I remember asking him 5 years ago, we were having lunch, and he was sort of telling me what all the Goonies were up to. And he was talking about how he and Key were still good friends to this day and how great he was doing, you know, working in stunts. And he was like, yeah, but I think he misses acting a little.
Look at him.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He gave such a beautiful shout out though. Backstage, because he was like, Corey Feldman called him before the show. And then
he said they all still speak.
That's Goonies what never, said.
Goonies never say die.
No.
And then he never said Goonies die. Never say die. I was like,
By the way, can we put respect on Jeff Cohen's name? His name is Chunk.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Except he's now one of the thinnest guys I know. So the name Chunk doesn't fit. But it is funny when I tell people that. Yeah, Chunk's my lawyer.
But it felt like a Just world. It just felt really good to see Key up there. It was such a good run of a season. I think for me, story of the season is
Key.
Even with all the other storyness we're going to hit to touch on, but Key is like the story. Then we get to Jamie Lee Curtis. Oh, damn. She's an Oscar winner.
What did she say when they announced her name? She was like, seriously, or something?
No, she went, I think she said no effing way or no way or no, she said shut up. That's what she said.
Was it shut up? Yeah. Up. Oh god.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So what was it sounded like there was a hush backstage, according to our colleagues who were in the press room. What was the sort of the reaction in the actual auditorium?
So the monitors, because you know it shows the five boxes, the talk after the Oscars and during was Angela Bassett's face when Jamie Lee Curtis's name was called, and she didn't clap or she seemed visibly upset by losing.
She didn't seem upset, she just seemed,
she could have been disappointed. Listen,
of course.
Wait, let's plot twist. M. Night Shyamalan time. People get upset when they lose awards. Like, not new. Yeah. Do they remember Bill Murray?
Like, do you remember Samuel Jackson literally cursing?
He said the F word. People get upset. And listen, for Angela especially, and like, listen, nothing's ever guaranteed in the Oscars. Like, stuff can happen all the time. And I will write a book one day about what needed to happen for Jamie Lee Curtis to win an Oscar this year has to be studied for decades to come, because we just ended on Jamie. Like, it was never like, it was always her, but Angela, it was hers until 11th hour.
But again, you're basing
quote unquote. Yes. I'm saying quote unquote, it was hers until the 11th hour, where it seemed like it was going to be hers. So you can have disappointment in that. However, but you also you look at Jamie and you go like, damn, like, well, Jamie Lee Curtis is an Oscar winner. Hopefully we get back to Angela. Because listen, I wasn't sure we're going to get back to her.
Hopefully it doesn't take another 20 years.
30.
Oh my God. Is it really 30 years?
30 years.
It's because I just watched the What's Love Got to Do with It not too long ago. Yeah. And oh my gosh. It holds up so well.
Oh, it's one of the greatest performances of all time. It's so good.
But it was crazy that later on Ruth would win.
Well, that's what, we'll get through that. So then we get to the documentary feature, Navalny, beautiful speech.
Yeah.
That's the speech that made Daya Lawrence cry. She was like, this is so sad. Like, and it was like, yeah, I was like, I was thinking about it. I was like it's so weird. You really put life in perspective. Like, his wife and kids are there, and he's over there. Like you just start occupying that.
Specifically,
like,
where is he?
In solitary confinement.
In Russia? Or
In Russia.
Yeah.
So you start putting that together and you go, damn. Like,
yeah.
We're applauding. Some really messed up stuff is happening right now. And CNN's first Oscar, by the way.
And probably its last, now that it's pretty much out of the dark business. Glad they enjoyed it while they could.
Mike's bringing that down, that big dose of reality, and it's over.
It's like there's no one left at CNN to even like, yay, we. Oh, yeah,
no, no, no. Live action short went to Irish Goodbye. Cinematography, All Quiet on the Western Front. Jessica texted me in the middle of All Quiet on the Western Front winning cinematography, and she was like, they need to play the All Quiet score like all throughout the Oscars show because it's such a good buffer. Like the
Gosh, like,
yeah,
it's killer. Yeah. Exactly.
But that started that run. And for a second, you know, just when we thought
cinematography was fine, it was expected. Yeah. We were like, okay, we're, you know, it's business as usual. Then we get to makeup and it's the whale. And then I went, oh, Brendan Fraser was about to win an Oscar today. Mm-hmm. That's when I knew it was like, it's coming.
Yep.
That's when Clayton hacked into Jazz's database and changed his vote.
I'm okay with that because, like I said, I would have never chose the whale because I wouldn't have chosen Brendan. If I chose Brendan Fraser, I would have chose the whale in makeup, so then it would have been correct. But because I had Austin, I had to take Elvis in makeup. And then that was fine. And then we got to costume design. And I thought that was going to be Elvis for sure because Angela had just lost. And then Ruthie Carter did it.
And gave a beautiful speech.
Beautiful speech.
Yeah. And also, it's like when Ruthie Carter won, I was like, well, of course. I mean, she's fantastic, and it's Ruthie Carter, but I was surprised.
I think it was very close, though. I think it was such a close race on that, and
first Black woman to win a second Oscar.
Crazy.
And Meryl has three, so I always want to put that out there. But yep. Then we got to international film. Shocker, according to Janelle Riley.
Damn it!
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Damn it! I took a big swing, although I don't think I took it in my. I think I was just feeling contrary that day.
Listen, one day it's going to happen. The international film that's nominated for Best Picture is going to lose.
It wasn't nominated for Best Picture, but I feel like the year that Pan's Labyrinth was up against The Lives of Others, and Pan's Labyrinth was nominated in several other categories and was the heavy favorite. I just remember that so vividly.
So what I will say to you is what me and my friend talk about a lot when we bring that up as the possibility. We think that race changes if it's a year of 10, because Pan's Labyrinth definitely isn't a year of 10. And then I don't think they make the switch. I mean, you can make that argument. Maybe they still go with Lives of Others. But I think the look, the aesthetic of it does change the dynamic of the season. So maybe if it's a year of 10, it's in Best Picture. Maybe it then doesn't lose.
Yeah.
But did you start thinking with All Quiet beginning to win a lot? Were you
not there. Not never. At this point. Nope, never. I'm still riding this line. So
we'll get there. We'll get there.
Doc Short, Elephant Whisperers. I was like, woohoo! There you go. Then we get to animated short: The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. First time in my career, guys, I got all three shorts correct.
Woohoo!
In my entire life, I've never gotten all three shorts correct.
And we didn't get to hear Pedro Pascal say "My Year of Dicks," did we?
He said it in the.
It was in a
voiceover.
Yeah.
He still said it, and I tweeted. I was like, "That's a good runner up. That's fine. I know I wanted Riz." But it's fine, you did Pedro, because it still makes it great. Then we get to production design. This is where things turn. Yeah. That's All Quiet on the Western Front. And I wrote the day that voting closed. I said, guys, everything everywhere's going to get nervous if these things happen. And I wrote All Quiet winning production design. And then my phone blew up. And publicists in the room and other people were like, what's about to happen? I'm like, watch adapt the screenplay now. I don't know. That's when I got nervous. I got nervous there for a second.
I mean, for good reason, I understand. But it just would have been so weird for Everything Everywhere All at Once to not win at this point.
Then we get to the original score, All Quiet, again. So now we're like, guys.
It's like suddenly, what is happening? It felt like it felt like a election night where you suddenly the momentum changes and you're like, oh no.
But as quickly happening? As it started.
Yeah, then it faded. Yeah, then we got some visual effects, and then I texted my friend, and I was like, if All Quiet wins visual effects, oh my God, like, I'm going to go home. Like, I don't belong in this business anymore. Then Avatar wins. We're like, all right, that's cool. Safe as usual. Original screenplay, Everything Everywhere All at Once. We get our first Daniel speech of the night.
There we go, mm-hmm. and it's back.
It was like, okay, guys, we're okay. Nope, and then we knew it was all good, because then we got to adapted screenplay, and the women talked.
Women are talking.
Women are talking. I was sitting two rows behind Sarah Polley's brother, who is the casting director of the movie, and I put the video on TikTok. He is bawling. I'm like such a proud big brother. And I saw him as we walked into the Oscars and he came up to me. I hadn't met him in person. He's like, Clayton, I read your work all the time. Is she going to win tonight? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I'm predicting it, but I really don't know. Please don't put this on my shoulder. And then he was like, I just need her to win. I was like, just see what happens. I don't like that pressure. And then she won and everything was fine. And it was so good. Then she announced her next movie is going to be about award season because she has found this fascinating. So
who is going to play Clayton Davis?
We're getting a 4-year consideration.
Yes.
Yep. She's going to do it.
The last time someone made a movie about award season was Christopher Guest. I would like to see him do it now that his wife has won an Oscar.
Mm, it's a good one, too. There I love for consideration.
I think it's very funny. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. For Sound went to Top Gun Maverick. And then we were like, okay, we're looking good. Original song, not do.
As expected.
Sing in the car.
By the way, so nice to see that dance done live because you see really how good they are. Because when you see the movie, you wonder if it's sped up. You wonder if there's special effects. No, that is just them. That was amazing.
That was amazing.
It is humanly impossible to do that dance. I've tried it. It doesn't work.
Wait, you've tried it?
Please put that on TikTok.
It is on TikTok.
Really?
When we had RRR on, so we listened to our own podcast. When RRR boys were here, we did the video podcast.
No, you dancing.
Yes. And then we took a TikTok of them trying to teach me the dance. And it's a miserable fail.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is the best video of the season.
Let's sidebar real quick and talk about the performances. Because Gaga, you know, up until Thursday, we didn't know. I mean, really, Jazz, you helped break that story on Sunday morning it was happening.
What was the holdup?
It was whether she was going to perform or not, because there was this whole thing of it wanting to be like of this certain caliber, blah, blah, blah. And then
I don't think there's any confirmed why it waited so long, but can I just venture again? And I don't know this now Clayton speculating. Let me be clear about that. I think once the Academy knew that Tom Cruise wasn't coming, I think it was like, can we get someone from Top Gun Maverick, please, to come to the show? That is part of the movie. And
I think they wanted Gaga from the beginning, but they kind of gave up on it because she is working on the Joker. And so I don't think you can suddenly turn around and suddenly get her just because Tom's not showing. But
we're not getting Tom, so Gaga, we'll take you.
Right.
I think maybe they went back and was like, okay, I know you weren't coming before, but now Tom isn't coming. Like, can you just come?
Well, here's the thing. Her team didn't know that Tom wasn't coming. So I don't know. But anyway, it just unfolded Saturday night as we were driving back from Indian Wells, and I'm calling Mark Malkin, and Mark Malkin's on the carpet and was like, oh my gosh, help. And he's like, nope, they're rehearsing. She's not here. So I guess this is happening and nobody would confirm. But Sunday morning, we got the confirmation. Like literally, I think 15 minutes before she was meant to set foot inside the Dolby to rehearse the song.
Right.
And she killed it.
And she did. That stripped down. And the producers were saying, one of the things that they, in the irony of it is because she didn't have time to really stage some huge presentation performance. Yeah. Instead, she did the strip down thing, which I think was smarter and stronger. The fact that she went backstage, took all of her makeup off and then performed and then went backstage and put it all back on.
Yeah. I always say I've always thought, we as an industry don't give Gaga enough credit on how great of a vocalist she really is. Like she's obviously a bit about theatrics and, she's a big personality, but I just think her musicality has always been so front and center and such a big thing that it gave a good reminder that she's a great musical artist and we should just let her sing all the time. I wish she would just, I love when she plays piano. She was killer.
I'm going to give I'm going to give props to her makeup team, Frederick Asperus and Sarah Tano, for putting the makeup on, taking it off,
the wipes did wonders. But Rihanna, pregnant Rihanna was great.
Yep. No, sorry, it's Rihanna.
Is it Rihanna?
It is Rihanna. It is Rihanna. As we learned, So yeah. So that's funny. You know, I talked to Molly McNary all about this because they did their research at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and they made sure that that's how Rihanna pronounces her name, apparently. And we've just all been doing it wrong forever. And she's just been too nice to correct us. I don't know.
I would like to file a memo to Hollywood right now, please. If you have been around more than a decade, I think it's really mean to start correcting us on your name. For like Kate Blanchett, not Blanchett, Brendan Fraser, not Fraser. One of my favorites is we have Rihanna, obviously. Everyone just
Amanda Seyfried.
That's something that we really didn't know for a long while. So,
but why didn't we?
I think people just need to either accept it now, or like if you're gonna correct us, then it just needs to be done.
Zendaya.
I don't appreciate.
But yeah, so
Rihanna, by the way,
Rihanna.
Yeah. I would like her to stop lifting herself in the air when she's pregnant. Because the stage lifted, and I was like, stop it. You're a pregnant woman, and it makes me nervous.
She's doing some of the biggest stunts of her career now that she's pregnant. But so Rihanna was great. And
Sophia Carson, first of all, loved her dress. I'm going to wear that at some point because it looks great. And she can sing her face off.
Did you howl when she did... Ladies and gentlemen, 11-time Oscar nominee Diane Warren.
14-time. Show some respect. Listen, I mean, I always tell people, I'll give you $1,000 if you can find me someone who saw Tell It Like a Woman. $1,000. Like that in regular life, that's not us.
Damn it.
Okay. Yes. because it's just a small little movie, but Diane Warren, you know, she's great. And then who's the other nominee?
David Byrne with the hot dog fingers, along with Stephanie Hsu.
Stephanie Hsu.
Yes, you have a follow up to that.
A sad little fact is that she's the only one that walked home without an Oscar from that cast, and that's what really hurts.
Perfectly fine.
I know, and I just hope I will see her time and time again.
I think
she can sing. She's so beautiful. She's like such a good cheerleader.
You know, the Daniels could give her one of their Oscars because they have
six
now.
There's six of them.
So it's like, give Stephanie one of them.
I saw them when they were getting their Oscars engraved. I was like, this is going to be like an hour, man. Because you're just going to keep giving it and going through an assembly line, you know?
They do it so machines fast there. It's impressive.
They kill it so fast. And then we got film editing with the new snack of Hollywood, Paul Rogers. Everyone was like, who is... I was like, guys, Paul Rogers is... I don't know. I guess you didn't watch Indie Spirits. Good-looking dude. He's killing it on the circuit. But that's also stamp if you didn't feel that Everything Everywhere was winning Best Picture. I think we knew it was over by that point.
He was also like at the Variety Artisans Award in Santa Barbara. And it was like, he is? Yeah.
Yeah.
Snacky.
I'm gonna keep him away from Jessica.
Yeah, and then did you see? By the way, I did. It was amusing because there was a percentage of folks on Twitter who, the second that he thanked his wife, were very disappointed.
I know. They were like, no.
Right, because they all had a shot.
Some hearts were broken once he thanked his wife.
I mean, hopefully she goes into witness protection program now, because I think there'll be some people after her, because like they were very passionate about Paul Rogers. Then the Daniels one director. Felt great. Another great speech. Then we got to Brendan Fraser. Fraser. God, see? I was expecting to cry, and I did not. But I think we've also cried enough with him maybe this year. Maybe that's what it was.
Yes.
I don't know. But like I was very happy for him. Like the comeback. Him and Key, comeback stories of the year. Like Resurrections.
Yeah, and the fact that they had Biodome in common.
Encino Man.
Oh, Encino Man, sorry. Encino
How
Man.
How dare you? They would never stoop so low as Biodome.
Right, yeah.
They would never do a Pauly Shore movie. Oh,
exactly. Pauly Shore movies.
Next year, Pauly Shore and Sean Astin are winning Oscars, though. We got to keep the Encino Man train going.
Hope you're happy.
Yeah, I love Sean Astin. He's owed one for Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
There you go.
And he's a Goonie.
It's Goonie. He's, and again, great speech. Then we got to Mama, Mother. She won.
Michelle of course Young. She did. It was never even close.
I still don't believe that because I was so terrified how it was going to look if she lost.
If Tar had taken home anything before Best Actress, maybe I would have been worried. But it was pretty obvious it was going home empty-handed, which honestly is a shame. It's a shame that between Tar and Fablemans and Elvis,
Triangle Sadness,
Banshees.
Five movies went home with nothing.
That's 33 crazy nominations between those movies, and they went home. But I mean, that I understand. It's, you know, doesn't mean that people don't love the movie. They just loved something else a little bit more.
By the way, four of those movies that went home empty-handed were four of the directors nominated for Best Director. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm.
It is crazy.
See, I was worried. I still have PTSD from when they moved Best Actor to the last category 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And
Halle Berry walked out.
I was like, guys, please do not put me through this again.
Wait, before we get to that. I'm going to share this with Mike for a moment.
Oh, just Mike. Jazz,
you want to go? Bye.
Put on mute.
Let's go, Janelle.
Yeah. Mike, Halle Berry's about to be 60 years old. What is happening? What is happening? Because when she walked out, I was like, guys, I shouldn't still be in love with her. Like, what is happening here? It's all...
Why shouldn't you be?
It's for life. I just know that it's true love.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone tell you you're past your prime.
She is the baddest woman in the land. She came out and I was just like, but then I was mortified. I was like, oh my God. Cause what I thought was gonna happen, if it was Michelle, that she would have said it. So when Jessica started talking, I was very nervous. And then she said, Michelle, yeah, no, it's fine.
But it felt like the longest pause. Yeah, when they were announcing,
it felt like 30 years long for sure.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, this is the most terrifying thing ever.
Yeah, it was great. And then Best Picture went to Tar.
Well, how funny would that have been after all of that all night?
Listen, I remember my column of like, Banshees wins anything, it's Best Picture and Best Picture only. So I was like, what if I was right about it? And then just pulled it off, but obviously it didn't. But yeah, it won Best Picture. Jonathan Wong gave a great speech. It was a very, very, very good speech.
Yeah, very nice speech, except for that little stumble about no person is more important than profits.
Oh, that's a stumble?
Wait, because he got it backwards. I think he meant to say profits aren't more important than people. That's what people were saying.
Oh, then I missed that completely. I thought he said it correctly.
I'd have to go back and check.
Yeah. I thought the part he said about his wife was like, got him brownie points for the rest of his life. He was like, he quoted Kiyu Kwan's best line of the movie. He's like, if we don't do this, I just want to do laundry and, now I'm forgetting. But yeah, you know it. It was great. It was just a good night. It was very celebratory.
Yeah. I just double checked. He said, no person is as important as profit.
I completely missed that. It sounded
He just misspoke or
saw what he meant, which is
of course.
But God, don't make a mistake in front of Janelle. Jesus, trying to tell us like you're saying it wrong, screaming from the audience.
It's like it should be one small step for a man.
No, it shouldn't. It should be one person kind.
Ooh. She would be like, you can see the strings. They're not there. But yeah, good show, good season. Thank God it's over.
So how was your key interview?
Well, we did it. We shot him in Beverly Hills at this beautiful Mandarin Residences. There was a pool. And I was this close, guys. We were going to shoot him jumping into the pool at the end. And then he realized that he needed to change his clothes to then go back to his mother's house to show her the Oscar. And he would have had clothes to change into. so we couldn't have him jump in.
Give him the clothes off your back.
I know. They would be, I don't think they would fit him because I wear a very larger size. But no, it was great. He was, you know, obviously very emotional, like always, like just like very, just speaking from the heart. And I, the one thing I'll say is, to quote To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, it's a sin to kill a mockingbird. It will be even more sinful if we discard this man a second time. Like, he has no job lined up. He's shot three things that are coming, but he has no other offers on the table. So that big part of my story is like, guys, like, just like Troy Kotsur last year, it was my big fear. I was like, I'm so scared I'll never see him again. I've seen him this year because he's been given stuff out at events.
Yeah, it's so that year after thing, and then after that,
yeah,
will we ever see him again? Yeah. That's, I was thinking about that even that during the Oscars when he got to come out. It's like, oh, that's nice to see Troy Kotsur again.
Yeah. But,
like,
hey, Troy.
But are we going to see you again after this 1 year victory lap? Or
I remember back on the Daily Show. This will really age me, when Craig Kilborn was the host and Jeffrey Rush won for Shine.
Yep.
And he made the joke, oh, well, there goes Jeffrey rushing off into obscurity.
And he came back 2 years with another Oscar nomination.
Could not have been more wrong. But I mean, but I get where he was coming from.
The Oscar curse is kind of a real thing. I get it. But
well, it's just
for different reasons for different people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, except for the handful of, big names of the world. It's lucky to get it once. Yep.
And it was also very cathartic to see the second deaf actor ever to win alongside the second Latina ever to win, give an Oscar to the second Asian man ever to win that category. And then I was just like, guys, like, this, we don't want this to be the last time we see these people do stuff. Like, let's do something. Like, so yeah, that's even Michelle Yeoh. Like, I think one of the things that, I don't say, like, obviously her performance is so great, but I think what really people were mindful of, and we never wanted to say it out loud, was like, we think this is probably the only shot we're ever going to get at Michelle Yeoh, so let's take the shot now.
Oh, so, I don't think that.
I think that. And that's just me being like pessimistic of the industry. I don't know when I'm going to see Michelle Yeoh back at an award show as a nominee. I never thought we would get her the first time. The fact that we got here was such a big deal, like in itself. And that's just, sometimes that's the devil on my shoulder saying that, like, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out for everyone. I hope we see her. I mean, obviously we're gonna see her in Wicked, but like, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was a long time ago. And then we didn't really start talking about her again till The Lady 12 years later, which that plea got passed over. And then Crazy Rich Asians 6 more years later got passed over and we got here. So yeah. I just want to see more visibility. That's it.
Love it.
Soapbox done.
No, indeed.
So on TV this week, Ted Lasso is premiering and Shrinking is airing its finale. And anything else,
say,
Michael?
Well, hold on. Do you say finale?
Shrinking is airing its season finale, isn't it?
Yeah, already? It's season one finale. Yeah.
Which that brings us back to Harrison Ford, who closed out the night.
Television star Harrison Ford.
Who is so good on Shrinking.
He's great on Shrinking.
Big old stoner. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Such a good show.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I just wanted to throw it back to Michael for a second.
Season finale of Last of Us.
It went up about as Pedro Pascal was on stage at the Oscars.
Yeah, which went up against the Oscars, which means I have still not had a chance to actually watch the finale.
I just watched it yesterday. I just watched SNL this morning because I didn't see Jenna Ortega's with SNL during that either. Listen, drama series is going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, because it's going to be half HBO shows. I mean,
yep.
Yeah.
So we're still Succession's coming anytime now.
I mean, we're gonna have this whole like HBO finale run because I mean Barry's now ending now too.
Yeah,
you know, like Succession and Barry going out, but
very unhappy about both of those.
Yeah,
I'm so. Am I surprised about Barry? I thought Barry had.
I think like Barry didn't. They wrote themselves into a corner too many times. So I respect that.
Yeah,
you know, he's going to tell the story he wants to tell, but just personally, I will miss it very much.
Yeah, no,
I
think
Succession.
Yeah, Succession too, because that's a show that, you know, conceivably could continue. Barry, once he's been caught, it's sort of okay. Yeah. Where do you go from here?
I will say though, by the way, in Succession, I gotta give him some props here because I believe more shows should take the Succession route, and I call it the Breaking Bad route too. Know when to call it, like
know when to fold your head.
Know when to just be like, you know what, we're good. We've done this because Succession could get very like, who is gonna take over one day? Because that, I mean, listen, Game of Thrones, 3 seasons too late. I think.
No, it is. It is true. There comes a point where, you know, everyone keeps, you know, Logan Roy is up, then he's down, then he's up, then he's down. Mm-hmm. There's only so much you can.
Remember how the first few episodes of season one, Logan Roy was like practically dead.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for season one.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that should be an interesting race because obviously, White Lotus will be in there too for HBO. And we'll see, but we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. So look at me even saying, all right, we can.
Aw, you know what?
Michael, I want to talk about
new TV. Hashtag Mike hates TV. Mike hates it so much.
I'm done. I'm all about film now. Look at me winning
I'm going to win the Emmy pool and I will show you all.
We should next year. We'll, because I think we're going to get banned. By the way, there is a movement in Variety right now. There's a little bit of a, what is it called when you overthrow the government? The coup. There's a coup going on to get rid of me and Mike from the office pools. Me and Mike are going to throw in $20 each on top of the winner who beats us next year. I just volunteered Mike for that.
All right. We'll start our own pool.
If they beat us.
Can we just start our own pool between us?
No, that would be terrible for me.
No.
Yeah, that's not a lot of money. I'm not.
I like exactly where things are right now.
Already, Jazz added some inflation to this year's. Yeah. But turns out that benefited you and I quite.
Yeah, what are you complaining about?
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, can you believe that? I guess the season's over.
I can't wait. I can't wait that it's over. It is
start
over.
Talk about 2024 Oscars.
Oh, Year in Advance predictions will be out on Thursday.
Well, I did a tweet. Time Hop showed me that my tweet yesterday was that now that the Oscars are over, can we start talking about Michelle Yeoh for Best Actress next year?
Mm-hmm. And there you go.
I had another tweet from opening weekend of Everything Everywhere All at Once that was like, you know, I know we're all hoping Michelle Yeoh gets an Oscar nomination, but you should look up for Ke-Huy Quan. People really like him. Who knew he would sweep?
Well, I got to say, they were pretty proud at South By when I was there, since, you know,
they should be. Yeah.
That's where it premiered. And she, I forget, was it Michelle who mentioned South By in her acceptance speech? One of the winners did. There were so many winners. But the fact that South By premiered that's a big feather in their cap as well.
But that's two early year festivals in a row getting on the Oscar map. Sundance finally got its first Best Picture winner last year with Coda, and now South By. Next up, Tribeca. Let's go. We got you in June. You're next on the docket.
I really have to go eat something. I'm sorry. It's been a very long day for me.
That's all right. I think we did it.
That's fine.
I think we did.
I slept through the airplane meal.
Well,
it looked good, but I would just slept through the whole thing. So,
well, thank you to everyone for putting up with us in our nonsense throughout Oscar season. I hope you do stick around and put up with our nonsense during Emmy season as well. We'll be back in a few weeks. I think we just need to sleep for a week and then get back into it soon.
A week? Sir, or we need to have a conversation. That needs to be extended.
Or two. A two. Or three.
I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November.
All right. Wyclef Davis.
Wyclef.
So until we meet again, we'll see. See you later. Bye.
Thank you for your service.
And that's it for this edition of Variety's Award Circuit Podcast. Zach Levin edited this episode, and Michael Schneider is the producer. Be sure to subscribe to the Award Circuit Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Also, head on over to Variety.com and click on the Award Circuit tab to find the latest awards predictions in key races, as well as your daily fix of news, analysis, and reviews. For Jazz Henke, Janelle Riley, and Clayton Davis, I'm Michael Schneider. And that's it for Film Awards season. We'll take a few weeks off, but Emmy season is already underway, and we'll be back soon with some of the biggest contenders this year in TV. Until then, we'll see you on the circuit.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.